Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd. I am not so excited about reading the Genesis passage to you. It's about Dinah. And then we'll go over to the Psalms passage, which I'm really excited about. Psalm 143, verses 8 through 10 in Psalm 143 are a part of the launching verses that I talk about often. And I have worked with May, and she and I say these verses in the morning time on our way to school. And so I'm going to ask May to come back by popular demand and recite some verses with me when we get there. But first, we need to talk about Genesis 34. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6 and then jumping over to 25 through 31. In this passage, Dinah is defiled by a man named Shechem, who is the son of Hamor, who is the ruler of the Hivites. And her brothers are very upset. Dinah's brothers are very upset by this. And so we're going to see that Jacob is quite passive in the situation. After we read verse 7, I'll give you a little bit of an interlude of what happens between the passages we're reading, and then we'll shore it up by reading from verse 25 through verse 31. This is a complicated passage because when we read it, we don't know what to think. Dinah has gone out to be visit with the women of the land. And I think, oh yeah, let's be in the world, but not of it. But the Bible also reminds us that oftentimes when we go out into the world around us, we are impacted by the culture. And Deuteronomy 20 is clear about avoiding defilement with the Canaanites. It says, otherwise, they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. We have to look to Jesus here. I think he's the perfect example of living in the world, but not being of it, being an attractive person to the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and yet not taking on the sinful practices of those people. All right, let's see where we go with this one. Genesis 34, starting in verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with the livestock, so he did nothing about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Meanwhile, Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. Just a note here, Jacob is being very passive, and because of this, he's not leading out and teaching his sons what the next thing should be, or not even encouraging them to pray to the Lord for wisdom. And so a lot of heartache ensues. The next section talks about Hamor and Shechem seeking a marriage alliance and how Dinah's brothers respond deceitfully, saying, okay, we'll make an alliance with you, but all your men need to be circumcised. Shechem agrees that they will be circumcised, and while all the men are recovering from circumcision, Levi and Simeon go, and they kill all the men. That's where we pick up in verse 25. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all the women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" Goodness gracious, there are no heroes in this passage, only warnings for us to guard our hearts, to be careful not to allow the cultures around us to normalize sin. And there's a lesson here about Simeon and Levi as well, that vengeance is not theirs. Vengeance is the Lord's, and they shouldn't have taken matters in their own hands in that way. All right, let's move on over to the psalm, because it's such a wonderful psalm, and I do not want to shortchange it at all. The first verse, I want you to repeat after me. "Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy in your faithfulness and righteousness. Come to my relief." Thank you. This is such a wonderful passage. Verses 2 and 3 say this: "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land." David is longing for the days past where God's presence seemed palpable. And so he asks in verse 7, "Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit." Remember in the passage, maybe yesterday or day before, Jacob saw God face to face. And David is asking for this same privilege. Don't hide your face from me. I'm going to use a big term here, anthropomorphic. This is describing God in human terms so that we can understand God. Maybe David didn't want to really see God's face, like a physical presence, but he wanted to experience his favor, his attention, his blessing, his presence. This reminds me of Numbers 6:25, where the Aaronic blessing, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you." All right, these next verses are the ones that May and I do together. So I hope that this will be an encouragement to you, maybe, to learn the verses as well. Psalm 143, 8 through 10. "May the morning
bring news of his unfailing love.
I have put
my trust in you.
Show me
the way I should go,
for to you
I entrust my life.
Rescue me
from my enemies,
Lord, for I
hide myself in you.
Teach me to do your will,
for you are my God.
May your good spirit
lead me on level paths."
And then finishing up the passage with verses 11 and 12. "For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together every day. I do pray that the Lord would bring you news of his unfailing love today as you put your trust in him. Lord, would you show us the way that we should go as we entrust ourselves to you? Rescue us, Lord, from our enemies. Sometimes the enemy is me. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. Keep a guard over my lips. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, and this is a prayer for the Holy Spirit, your good Spirit, to lead us on level ground. And now I send you forth with Dr. Hull's blessing. May Christ go before you to prepare a way of service. Christ go behind you to gather up all your efforts for his glory. Christ go beside you as leader and guide. Christ go within you as comfort and stay. Christ go beneath you to uphold with everlasting arms. Christ go above you to reign as Lord Supreme. Amen.